Thanks so much for listening to the Salesforce Tulsi podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking to Igor Stava, who is founder of PDF Butler. Now, the reason I wanted to talk to him was to find out how he created his Salesforce app on the AppExchange, the challenges and the tips he has for anyone interested in creating an app. So if you're a Salesforce admin, developer, or architect, and you're looking at maybe trying a side hustle of creating an AppExchange app, then I think you're going to get a lot of value out of this conversation with Igor. So without further ado, let's go. Cool. Welcome, Igor, to the Salesforce Tulsi podcast. Now, we're here all to talk about AppExchange apps, why they're great, why they're not, what, you know, because I'm quite interested in apps and apps that solve business problems within the kind of Salesforce ecosystem. And kind of want to kind of just dig a little bit deeper under the cover of creating apps for AppExchange, how you sell, how you market and all that, and the kind of challenges you can have and any tips you can have can give along the way, because you are the owner and creator of PDF Butler. But before we get there, I'd love to know how you got into the Salesforce ecosystem originally.
Yeah, okay. First of all, Francis, thanks for having me. And it's great to be here. I got into the Salesforce system at beginning 2011, 2012. So a little bit more than 12 years ago. And it was very, actually it was by accident, because like we in Belgium didn't really know Salesforce at that moment too much. It was something that was up and coming. I know some people at my company were, the consulting company I was working for, were looking at it, but didn't really see a market fit at that moment. And all of a sudden, one of the women that was working in sales, her husband went to work for Salesforce. And answering an RFP for a big first pharmaceutical company. And the pharmaceutical company said, well, if you're going to come with Java or .NET, don't bother. We have so many applicants already. It has to be something radically new, different. And so this lady said, let's talk to my husband. Let's talk, see if Salesforce can help here. And it was actually spot on, because they wanted to do, at that moment, Chatter was big. So they really wanted to get that Chatter integrated. They obviously wanted to have lots of dashboards and overviews of their sales and the portal that they were creating, the community that was the big thing that they want to put on top, so people can really get everything done via the community. So in that moment, a lot of custom work on the community. But she told me it was in February somewhere, because we were going on a ski trip, and she told her, okay, yeah, I need the proposal and all the slides and everything back in 2 weeks from now. And I'm like, okay, when I'm on a ski trip, luckily I don't ski.
I'm the ski lift.
I don't ski. My family skis, but I don't ski. So I was spending the entire day in the hotel, and I was actually, to be honest, I was sold from day one. So when I started reading about it, the technology behind it, the scaling about it, the capabilities of the platform, the innovation, I was sold from day one. And we did a proposal, we won it, and that's how I ended up in the Salesforce ecosystem. Never looked back.
So what made you go, I think I'm going to create a Salesforce app? What inspired you to do it?
Well, for years I was in the Salesforce ecosystem. So I went from a team lead to an architect. Worked for several companies in Belgium and Europe, pharmaceutical companies, banks, you name it, telecommunication companies, and they all came. We all struggled at the same thing: generating a document. I mean, even today, when you sign a contract, when you want to have a proposal, somebody still probably needs a document. Not just like, hey, I put copy paste something, put it in a mail. No, you want a real document, something that's that really represents your company. And from the pharmaceutical company, the telecom company, we had loads of struggles. and we tried all of the market leaders. And actually, you would say there's a big Salesforce project going on with a community and a sales cloud and service. But at the end of the day, the project couldn't go live because the proposal wasn't there. So a sales rep can enter everything, or somebody on the self-service portal can enter all the details, but then they need some kind of a proposal, and they wanted that proposal in the documents. Like I said, there were several issues there, and we couldn't just get them solved in time. So all these projects, they had a delay, some delayed by a couple of weeks, some delayed by months. We had to tell the business, okay, we can go to production faster, but then these and these requirements have to be cut out. And that was, as a consultant or as an architect, that is just not a nice discussion to have with the business.
So did you look at other apps? Because the one thing that kind of interests me about PDF Butler is it's a document generation tool, right? You create it, but there was kind of like, there's others on the market and things like that. So why did you go, actually? Because I think there was others on the market at the time you started PDF Butler.
For sure.
So what was that kind of going? Okay, there's one thing going, okay, it's completely net new. It's a completely new app that I know doesn't exist on the Salesforce ecosystem, which is a different risk in itself, right? But that kind of thinking of going, well, I know there's other apps on the marketplace, but actually, was it just that I think I could do better?
One of the things that I always say is new ideas are not always a totally new product. It's very hard to sell a totally new product because there's no market there. When you come up say, okay, we want to do a product, and there's probably a similar product out there, don't imitate, but innovate on it. So there's definitely the market leaders that we were using that. I mean, big telecom companies, pharmaceutical companies, they want to like to work with these market leaders or at least talk to them. We tried them, and they were so just very limited in the amount of configuration that you could do. So I'm talking here now, the year 2015, 2016, they were very, very slow. So I remember that, at the telecom company, they said, okay, we're going to dial and we're going to call, we're going to call people, do them a proposal. And then at the end of the call, we want to send out a document to them and then ask them, did you receive the documents?
Yeah.
So if you get a call, a cold call, you want to get rid of it, that cold call, as quickly as possible. So they didn't have like half a minute or a minute to stay on a call and then say, okay, yeah, it's nearly there. Yeah, the processing, it initializing. Yeah, no, there was like click a button and it should be there. So that was one of the big discussions that we had. They say, okay, the initial documents that we have created took half a minute to 40 seconds to generate. That was just like a no-go because none of the salespeople could get the people for 40 seconds extra in their call. So,
was that your initial focus then on the problem to solve, the speed?
Yeah, exactly. Speed was the initial focus to solve. Yeah.
So what was your initial approach? Because I'm assuming you didn't have any experience before creating an app. So did you come together to create the app? Did you do it yourself? Did you get an external consultancy to it? What was your approach to actually that development process?
So I did discuss it with some friends of mine at that moment, but most of them, they didn't want to spend the time and the free time that they had on it. So most of the things, most of the things I have done myself, I quite like programming. I quite like that configuration. I quite like getting my hands on something, getting my hands dirty, and really thinking about how things should work and could work, and finding solutions. For a year, almost a year, I spent all of my holidays, all of my evenings, all of my weekends just building and trying and testing and failing, and then just putting it aside for a few weeks and then saying, no, it's saying there has to be a solution there, and I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to try different things, get new ideas. Because getting it up and running with 20 seconds for a document to generate. That was done in a few months, but getting that that generation to to under a second for the most common documents. I mean, that is that took quite some time, and eventually that was the goal.
So would you say that was the biggest challenge in creating the app? Was that just that timing?
That was
cool. Cool. So then, after that a year, did you start including more people, or did you start focusing on sales?
Well, I'm thinking, is
that the point you published it? What was the kind of the phases you kind of went through? I suppose I'm trying to get at.
So I had a full time job. So
right.
So, in the year 2016, 2017, I had a full-time job. I was actually quite happy in my job, to be honest. Quite a lot of challenges, the things that I could really dig into. And I actually showed the app to some of, I was the head of a center of excellence at that moment. And we worked together with quite a lot of consultancy companies, software integration companies, as ICE. And I actually showed them my say, okay, hey, look what I built. Would that be of any interest? And they all said, yeah, that it's very interesting. And they all said that they would have immediately some customers that would be able to benefit from it. But most of the people will not go and select an app from a one person company.
Exactly.
And still has a full-time job. So, for me, the big challenge was building the app. And then I just said, okay, I have a job and I continue. And I just was able to show the app to different people and brag a little bit about it. But I didn't really take any actions towards sales and marketing at that moment. That came only in end of 2018. I published it on the App Exchange 2019. And then actually the first people came in. So, extra developers, people on sales. So, that's about that time, 2019, that then it's all started.
So what was your, how was the process of going through that kind of Salesforce security review and compliance? Because for some people, it is a bit of a nightmare. Did you think of that right from the beginning, or was that I need to do this now?
No, it was indeed a nightmare. We need loads of patience. If we publish an update or publish a new app, it goes pretty fast, to be honest, the validation. But when you don't have any apps yet, and Salesforce has no idea about will they succeed, will they actually happen. At the moment that I started, I was introduced to four other companies that wanted to publish an app.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And I had some good chats with them, some good talks with them. But all of them, they were focused on not selling the app, but selling consulting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And you feel that Salesforce said, okay, do we going to put time in these companies, in these apps? Because we have absolutely no idea if they will be successful, if there is a market for the apps, if they actually will focus on sales and marketing on the app, if they will invest in it. And that's why in the beginning, you just have to be very patient. Eventually, it's going to be your turn somewhere, but you're in the back of the line and you have to wait until it's your turn. How long can it take? 2 hours, 3 hours? Might take 3 weeks, 3 months. So, it just takes.
So how long did it take for you? Did you have a lot of kind of redevelopment in the app, or was it relatively straightforward?
No. So I was by one of the partners I had at that moment. I was introduced to a company that had experience with publishing an app. And they said, okay, yeah, we're just going to review your codes, review your tests, and we're going to update and validate everything that is not there. And actually, this company did a really good job because I was we passed the App Exchange security review immediately.
Oh, brilliant. I think that is one of the challenges. I think it has changed a bit since. But I think, if you miss, you get fails on the app, the security review with Salesforce. You can't get your app published. You have to go back, you know, make those changes, submit it again. Then something else crops up. You have to come back, and then the time between those reviews,
It's pretty long. It's pretty long. I remember that they told me, hey, you have to get some I don't know, it was something called it hours, the technical architect from Salesforce. You could talk to him, and then he would give you a little bit of feedback what you have to do with the app and everything. I remember that I went online, wanted to pick a date. The date was like 2 months in the future. But I want to publish tomorrow. I don't want to publish in 2 months.
Exactly. Yeah. And hence why these companies pop up about, you know, the experts in app creation, I suppose. Okay, so you pass the security review, which is a kind of a must before getting onto the App Exchange.
Exactly.
And then what was your kind of strategy around launching that? Was it just push it up and see what happens, or was it more?
You know, it was. Somewhere deep in myself, I was hoping that, like, it publishes on the App Exchange and we just have to sit back and wait for customers to contact us. But I mean, totally opposite is true, obviously. It's not because it's on the App Exchange that you're going to find customers or customers going to approach you. No, it's at this moment, I would say that actually building the app is the easy part. It is getting companies to trust you, to trust your product, to trust that you, hey, if they buy your app and they have to know, okay, is this company going to be there? Is this app going to be there in 6 months from now, in years from now? Am I making an investment money that I have to throw away because the company did not survive? And that kind of trust, that was the difficult part, definitely in the beginning, getting customers to say, hey, yeah, cool app, but we want to deal with companies that we can trust. And that's a process, sometimes frustrating, but
if you got some advice around the kind of the strategies for that kind of that promotion or launch activities that you could do.
Yeah. So what we have, of course, took the first 6 months. When we launched on the App Exchange, we had to sign up a company within a month. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that was, was part of the contract, if I remember correctly. So we were talking to a company here in Belgium. They're still a customer to this day. But to get them online, and we obviously had to promise them everything.
within
the market, the entire implementation for free, obviously, and get them on board. But this is, in hindsight, this is what you have to do. I mean, if you have your app, you need success stories out there. On you can only get these success stories if you invest in them. And you don't have to think that, oh, customers will first buy my licenses, then buy consulting from me, and then they will always come back and be super happy, and then also spread the news on the app. No. So what we have done in the beginning, the first year, is really said to a customer, okay, cool, let's give us access to your audit, and we'll give us access to your documents. We'll start building together with your SI, together with your internal admins, make sure that they are trained, but really being hands-on with the audit, with the customers, and making sure that they feel that trust in the application. They are not like, okay, shall we put time minutes? So that's why we put our time minutes to prove to them that the application will really work for them.
So how do you go about kind of that, gaining that visibility and attracting users? Because I know with the App Exchange, you've got the kind of Salesforce can sell, you know, going on a demo jam and things like that, but also there's kind of offline things as well you can do, or outside of the ecosystem. What are the kind of things that you've done over the years?
I think in the beginning, we did what every company does. That's calling and getting our customers, trying to get customers to actually at least book a demo and getting them online. What we also started on doing really early in the process is getting partners. So that's consultancy companies, SIs, on board and saying, hey, you're going to have this issue or this feature request quite often. So, if we partner up, how we can help you, we give you good support, and you can go to your customer and immediately show nice demos instead of just saying, there you go. We can also do document generation, but we have to select an app out there. So we will be very integrated with, work very integrated with these consultancy companies. And that's what we still do today. So and that's very, so that was actually very successful. If they see that the app is good, our customers like to work with it. You need, of course, to go to one or two implementations with them. That trust actually is built. And then I think in the beginning, we also made sure that we had lots of success stories. So customers we helped that to get online, customers that that bought a product, partners, we got their success stories. And that's what we have published. People actually see that we're not the first. and other ones are pretty happy about about PDM Butter and or about using the usage of PDM Butter and support on PDM Butter. So that's definitely more.
Have you done any partners with other ISVs? Because I've heard that sometimes, you know, I think quite a while ago now, the different partners just connecting up to kind of create app packages almost in the App Exchange. Have you done or kind of in, thought of doing that?
Exactly. We have quite a few of those as well. So where you need package the app together and so that's always a win-win for everyone.
So were there any kind of unexpected challenges you faced after launching the app that you weren't expecting?
Well, I think the first year and what if let's say definitely the first year, the year and a half, the time it takes for companies to decide.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh my word, yeah.
That's I was quite surprised about it. And you can say if they buy 1,000 licenses, that's a huge amount of money. They can make that they have to really have a good decision, but sometimes it was one, two licenses, and it's like, would spend more money over the weekends.
What you're gonna get,
then the decision they had to make, and still it took weeks or months for them to make that decision and to move forward. And that was quite surprising at certain times, where you think, it's a no-brainer.
It's getting worse now that people are taking longer. Even, you know, over the years, it's getting worse since you started, or is it still the same?
No, it's actually still the same. It was because of the, it was not always about the trust. I think it's just a process inside the company that they say, okay. We also very often see customers starting with Salesforce, and then they want to view everything and it's like, okay, we need digital signature, we need document generation on top of it, so we're going to talk to these companies. And then they start with the implementation of Salesforce, and then they are not like, okay, we buy a license and next week we're up and running. No, they see the internal discussions about their own products that they have to put in Salesforce, their own processes they have to put in there. And then, obviously, then if there's no process in the Salesforce, if there's no data to be captured, we cannot generate the documents from thin air. So that's why, So that might be one of the reasons that customers have to decide on that. But I think at this moment, we have a good return on investment proof, so we can really prove to them, hey, you invest this amount of money right now, this is what you're going to save in the end. So that shortens the decision time, obviously, if that is a way to shorten it.
So if you have run a company before, is this your kind of first starting out? Really? Okay. What made you kind of, because obviously you had a permanent job before, you're doing this app, but at what point was it that you made that decision to take that leap and say, right, I need to do this full time?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll start with saying that it was not the first app I created.
Right.
I think in the past 15 years, I might have created 10, 12 apps.
Okay.
Some very technical, some nothing to do with Salesforce, but just just an app that's on the, I mean, I'll actually publish apps on the multiple apps on the app stores. So there was always that idea, like, okay, I like building apps, I like building these things, but having going away from that, I had a week, a monthly salary, and all the benefits of having a full time job. Actually, that just came by. Everybody complains a little bit about their job at a certain time, and I must say, I think at a certain moment, my wife was just sick and tired of it, and she said, "You know what? Quit your job, go and do your app." Listen, I
and enough complaints.
exactly. It was exactly that, and that was like, okay, cool. And I think a few days later, I went to speak to my manager and said, "Hey, I think I'm gonna quit this job over here." And I don't think more. So that's really sometimes that little push that we need to make that decision. But it was a good one.
Yeah. So what did you find as you running a company? Because obviously there's a lot of admin, because I've got multiple companies over the years I've had, and it's like, what were your expectations of actually running a company, having people employed by you, running the books? Was there anything that was like, wow, this is actually a lot more work than I thought, or was it what you expected? I suppose.
No, it was what I expected. I think the roles that I had it was not running a company, obviously, but it was running center of excellence and departments. And in those roles, obviously, you have to take care of finances. You have to start finding people to get the planning out and everything. So I think that part was quite a little bit what I expected, to be honest.
Cool. And then just kind of go back to your app. How do you kind of gather and incorporate kind of the feedback from customers? Because I know I've talked to a couple of kind of app providers before, and that some of them, they love, it's obviously, and Salesforce is very much like, isn't it? It's trying to get as much feedback from our customers as possible so we can improve the app. But how do you go about doing that kind of feedback and listening?
I think that's a mentality that everybody in the company has. We employed a couple of people from sales and support and marketing that worked at other app vendors, and they say that we do that quite differently. That we really listen and not just listen to say, okay, we'll put it on the roadmap, but we really put these features out there quicker and better than most of the app companies would do that. So. Yeah, I mean, if you will see me in a lot of calls, I know that some of the other, company owners, the CTOs or whatever, they will say, okay, when it's a big account, I will go in a call, but when it's a small account, okay, don't bother. For me, it's about, if it's a big account, I would go in a call, obviously, but it's also about what they are trying to achieve. You might find that interesting. I go in a call with a customer buying their licenses or a few licenses from us. I go in a call, I listen to them. We discuss it internally with the product owners, the dev team, and say, hey, this is maybe not a huge enterprise, but they have great ideas. And that's stuff that we should incorporate into an app. And having that kind of mentality inside everybody in the organization, bringing those kind of ideas to me, listening to the customer, and not just saying this is what our app does, so you have to align with how our app works. I think that really makes a difference, because we come with new features and improvements on a weekly basis. Still after all,
I think that's what's a lot of the bigger. This is where I think the competition of actually the bigger apps, they've kind of got a little bit lethargic a little bit, and the higher level management is abstracted away from their own customers. And I think that's where they kind of start to lose focus, some of them, if they're not on it. And that's where the opportunities lie, right? And coming in with an app that can disrupt them because they've just been sitting back a bit too much, so that you can take it. So if I was wanting to create an app today or maybe tomorrow, bit late in the day now. Actually, I did create an app on AppExchange like literally years and years and years ago. It is still, I think it's now delisted, but it's still there. But I hate to mention it because it's terrible. But yeah, it's still there. With my third, my only foray into creating an app. But yeah, if I wanted to create an app tomorrow, what three pieces of advice would you give me to where to start out?
First of all, really listen to the markets or know the markets. Like I said, I had a lot of experience from my job. So keep your eyes open. So every day you talk to customers, you talk to you deal with challenges. And if you have that kind of a mindset, it's like there's an app in this. Then you can ask my family every holiday. We do something, we see, and I would say, oh yeah, I can automate that, or I can improve that, or I can build an app for that. So if you have that mentality, then you will find a good idea, a real market idea. So keep your keep your eyes open, and then think like, is there that an issue that a lot of customers will have, and there is no app, or there is no good app to do that, or there is an app that I can innovate to do that. So that's definitely one part. The second part is just work very hard. Building an AppExchange app, building a company, you're not going to do that in a 9-to-5. It's just hard work. It's just getting up early in the morning. It doesn't stop on a Friday evening. If there's work to do, get the work done. If the customer feels that your feedback is quickly and it's immediate, then it's going to be a much better or going to leave a much better impression than when the feedback takes a week or 2 weeks because you're busy or you want to go have a long weekend or whatever. So and the third is just build a community, build a network. I think that's also something. Can go step back in what we have discussed is something I've learned that having a community on like a LinkedIn, let's say, and let's focus on LinkedIn here. Having a community and really people that follow you and things that you're interesting, things that you can post, and that people are ready to read that. That community is very important. You're going to reach a lot of people there. And it's just have a community. People know you from events, from things that you post. That is actually where you're working on. My community when I started here was mainly in Belgium, maybe parts of Belgium and parts of Germany. And you feel that where we started growing, that was actually where I had my community. Where I knew, okay, I knew companies there, I knew people that worked at important companies that might be interested in the app. I knew people that worked at consultancy companies, and that's where the growth started. So very important that you want to do this.
Build a community. You're building that community of people, and essentially networking and communicating and collaboration, right, to kind of build that network up. Would you think that, because a lot of people are going on, building your profile and all this kind of stuff. Do you think that is part of it? And finding your niche as the guru in DocGen or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about it. If they say Igor Stavro, the DocGen guy, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I think that is it. This is the way I think. What I'm seeing that in this Salesforce industry going is like. Even in the consulting world and everywhere else, it's kind of like people are becoming the person, the guy, the gal, whoever it is that is the person around maybe financial services and sales or financial services and something else. And they have that kind of expert knowledge in that ecosystem to kind of go, actually, these are the apps we use. We don't use these other apps due to compliance reasons because I'm into financial services and all this kind of thing. They've got that knowledge, right? And so they find that niche, and now every financial service company wants to employ them or get their app or whatever it is because they found that niche, right? And they're known for it.
And the Salesforce community is kind of unique in that because it's so wide, it's so open. I'm in my career, I've spent, if you see the top five or top four tech companies, I was involved in all of them, and you don't find that community in any of the other big ones. In Salesforce, that community, that openness of people willing to talk to each other, listen, sharing stuff on and liking stuff on LinkedIn, that and having the events, and having thousands of people coming to an event, you know, where for yourself and then following. But that is like, yeah, it's like a very big event. A lot of people come there. Why? Not only to learn more, but also because they want to be part of that community. And I think with Salesforce, you really have, they really spent a lot of time and then really accomplished building more of the community where people can come together and sit together. And yeah, that's a great way to bring in that, to be involved in that.
So what resources do you go to that you think might be helpful if I was going to creating my app and my app journey?
That's a pretty difficult one. I would start with, I think that most people that would start building an app, they or work with a company that has an experience building the app, or maybe have themselves some technical experience. So to be really build out a successful app, if you have a great idea, I would start maybe with looking at, so how can I market the app? Make sure that people, the app is out there. When it comes to the more technical parts, make sure you ask the right people there that have really good technical knowledge on Salesforce. If you don't have that, you will struggle getting through the App Exchange security review or things like that. So, and you will struggle on upgrading your app. Make sure that there is constant innovation there. So, that for me is a little bit where I would go. Make sure that you technically, functionally, really know Salesforce. I've seen some apps where they built out some kind of an approval system. I would normally not do that in an app. I would say, okay, there's an approval system in Salesforce. It's going to be much easier to sell your app.
Yeah, and also I think I've seen apps where they just work on accounts or contacts and ignore leads. Or something like this, and it's a data quality tool and things like this, where it's like, well, that's potentially where all that information is coming in, and you want that quality there, not later on, but there's no way of putting it over there. So I think it's just understanding that and making sure it's kind of flexible enough, and kind of fit nicely in the platform, right? Okay, so if you kind of had your future looking hat on, Where do you see the platform going and evolving, and what do you think are the kind of the opportunities on the App Exchange that are kind of coming up or currently present?
I think the businesses is still about making proposals. Where we are going, we obviously see lots of more digitalization, people working remotely, so making sure that you're able to present your proposals in a very correct and nice way. That is definitely going to be even more important than today, because when in a sales process, maybe more a lot of people like the sales guy, but you have a personal touch there. But when you're doing everything online, or everything is going to be more remote, you might lose that more and more that personal touch. So there's going to be other things that's going to be important on how you present the quotes, how you explain what's inside the quotes, how you differentiate your products down, and that is presented in a correct way. Obviously, I think I cannot get away from AI. It's all around there. It is something that's said that it's going to be huge in the coming years. we are obviously internally also testing with AI, seeing how we can improve our apps. If I look around, I honestly believe not only with PDF Butter, but just all around, the big ideas still have to come. Now we can save time, and we can, as you write an email or if you do a configuration, write a small program, you can cut off a little bit of time, or let's say half a day here and a few hours there and a few minutes in it. But is that the big differences that AI will bring? I think it's going to be the thing is going to be more to it though. So that's definitely something we are watching every day, and there's going to be improvements inside our platform as well on AI the coming months and years. So
I think it's also it's going to change different industries in different ways as well. I think, you know, with healthcare, it might be, you know, much bigger, you know, in the AI space versus another one. But I think, yeah, it's definitely an exciting time. So what is next for you and your app? Have you got any like new features or ideas on the horizon?
Yeah, we are constantly listening to our customers and also checking what our customers want from us. So we have an app for around contract management coming out. So that's something that we will bring, because this is very integrated in the information that goes inside the document. So everything that Tablet has to handle. There's a lot of upgrades coming on our digital signature tool. So a lot of improvements coming there, although the tool is already full featured. But still, we get new ideas and new ideas from our customers. So that's good. We have already have a form tool, but we are now coming out with a web form tool. So that's much more dynamic. It's easier to add records and the linked records and make updates, changes that. So yeah, the coming months will be very interesting, and it's going to be lots of work for us. The work never stops. We always make sure we find new things for us to do.
Cool. Okay. So you were ready for the final question. Okay. The question I ask most people, and it's if you could wind the clock back to a certain point in your life, and you could give yourself a bit of advice, what point in time would it be, and what advice would it
be? I would go back here to I'm not saying PDF Butter, but to one of the apps I created. I believe from the 10 to 12 apps I created, I could build out a company from half of them. Or something there. So when I would go back and look and tell my younger self, it's just to take that jump, to take that leap, to not to have confidence and start say, okay, if it doesn't work, you fail, whatever. Who cares that you fail? If you don't try, then you will always think like, you'll never know. Would I have failed? Would I not have failed? You never know exactly. So that is, I think, something that I would tell my younger self, like, just do it. you want to do it. If you want to build a company, if you want to build an app, you have a great idea and you believe in the idea, just go for it. And don't worry about the golden cakes that you might be in, because you have a great job and the salary coming in every month.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks so much. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No. I think it was a really nice talk. I just want to say, if anybody listening to this, if they have any questions directly to me on how the application was started, other challenges that I might not have discussed or that they are facing, they can always talk to me. I'm very open in helping people and helping other companies get started. So I'm not saying that I have all the information and all the knowledge, but if I can help, I'll definitely do that, so they can always
reach out. Cool. And thanks so much.
Cool. Thank you very much. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Salesforce Posse podcast. Now, please, if you like or what you see or hear, then please rate this podcast in your podcast player, as it tells me that there are people out there that actually are listening to this and that it's useful to them. Also, it helps the podcast algorithms to kind of elevate the podcast in the different podcast directories, which will be really helpful for me as well. And finally, if you do have a question that you want to ask on the podcast, then head to salesforceposse.com/message and maybe you'll appear in the next podcast. But apart from that, thanks for listening, and until next time, ta-ta!